Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Jorgie Jorgensen. And today's guest is John Cameron from the Cameron Law Offices.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us, John. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about commercial loans, workouts, and foreclosures. Sounds like a timely topic with all of the people that are struggling a little bit at this time.
Well, it sure is, Tom. We work with both lenders and borrowers, and we spend a good part of our time right now working on these types of situations.
Hmm.
So you've represented both sides of the deal, but not at the same time.
That's right.
and as we walk through this issue today, should we start with the borrower?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see how, you know, these today we're looking at situations where we're really in uncharted weather. We're really in an uncharted area at this point, given the current credit markets and where the overall economy is. So, you know, it's easy to look back with 2020 hindsight and say, oh, we shouldn't have done it this way, or we shouldn't have structured or borrowed the money this way or under these terms. So we have a lot of people looking at deals now that may not pencil out today, but they sure did at the time.
So you've got customers coming in, and 4 or 5, maybe 10 years ago, they picked up a piece of commercial real estate, and it was a really good buy, they thought, at the time, and they maybe put leveraged it a little too highly and put a big loan on it and perhaps lost a tenant or two, and now all of a sudden it's a buyer's market. There's a lot of vacancies out there, and they're struggling to pay the mortgage and the bills and the taxes and so forth, and they come to you and say, John, we've got a problem. What can we do?
Yeah, you know, the situation with borrowers are unique to each situation. We might have, there's different asset classes that we deal with. We find that it may be an apartment building where people are renting. It may be an office building. It might be a retail center that you might have in your neighborhood. It might be a standalone building with a business in it. It might be vacant land. All of things that under some looser underwriting standards over the last few years were easily financed. And some of these, you know, the problems don't always arise from that they're not cash flowing. Or, you know, we've recently looked at a situation where we helped a client acquire several buildings as part of an acquisition that with one tenant that's very strong. That property cash flows very, very well. There's no problem with it. However, the loan is coming due. And going back to the lender has new underwriting standards, and they're requiring a significant pay down on that performing loan. So, you know, you say to yourself, okay, we have a borrower here that's solid. We have an asset that is solid, and we have a tenant that's solid. Because of so if you look at that business model, you'd think we're all okay. However, because the lender has unique issues to themselves, they're coming back to this borrower and saying, we need a big pay down on this loan. We'll renew it, but we want you to reduce the principal balance by 35%.
You know, I think we're sitting on with bated breath here because I know a number of people who are going through this. They've got cash flowing property, their businesses are cash flowing, and yet they're having difficulty renewing loans or...
Or lines of credit,
or they're being told that they're going to be called due.
Right, or the banks are in many cases looking for additional security. Typically they want to reduce the amount of credit that is available out there, and it's, you know, it's not necessarily that particular borrower, but they're looking at a whole portfolio that they're trying to reduce.
And it's not necessarily the lender's problem. It's the bank regulators that are coming in saying, we need to change how you're doing business here, and you need to improve the capitalization of this loan. Otherwise, we're going to criticize it, which causes the lender some problems.
Yes. You know, from our perspective, lenders are under a great deal of scrutiny by the regulators. You know, there's been A lot in the press recently about what's happened in the banking and commercial lending industry, and that maybe the regulators were too loose. And we're at a point now where they're going to scrutinize all the loans.
This pendulum has swung to the other side.
And you can argue whether that's good or bad, but that's the reality of what's going on out there. So the lenders are reacting to their oversight, and that is having a definite impact on the borrowers in the market.
Sure, and your clients, if they're the borrowers, are saying, John, they changed the rules on me. What do we do? So can we walk through a scenario? Can you give us an example of one of these?
Well, you go back to the situation, and what I'm finding is that many clients are now going back and reading with great clarity all the things that were executed
in covenants and
preparing the loan.
What did we agree to?
Exactly. And
can you give us an example without giving a name or anything, but one that's kind of a good example of what's happening right now with the borrowers?
Well, I mean, it goes to specific asset classes. We've talked about, I think the easiest one is maybe talk about something that's, probably the easiest to manage and then move to the extreme. But, you may have a situation where you have an office building with a very good tenant, a very good owner, the borrower, mm-hmm. and he has a very good tenant or several tenants and they're cash flowing. Yet the loan is coming due, and the lender is under pressure to reduce its portfolio and is either saying, we don't want to renew it, go out in the marketplace and replace the debt.
Good luck with that one.
There are lenders out there. There are people lending. However, they probably are going to want some pay down on that loan. So that's where the rub comes. How do you work it out? So you end up sitting down with the client and looking at the different, when we close these loans, there's typically a number of documents that are executed. And, depending on the type of lender the client was working with, whether it was a local bank, a national bank, they might have, you've heard a lot in the news about these conduit lenders. What they were doing was their function is they come in, they originate the loan, and then they package it, and then they may take that loan with many other loans and then sell it off as a collateralized debt instrument.
Okay.
And that market has really disappeared. So there's really no market out there for the commercial paper to, it still is being traded, but new paper is difficult to originate. So when you look at these, how they're documented, you typically have a loan. First you had a commitment, then you had a loan agreement. You had a promissory note, which was the evidence of the debt. And then you have a number of other documents which are personal guarantees. Obviously, mm-hmm. there's a mortgage against the property, all things to secure the payment. Many times there's letters of credit that had to be put up, which are also obligations to pay that the partners may have had to guarantee. We have a current situation where there's a triggering letter of credit, which is arising because the rents in the building have a couple of tenants have moved out. There's basically debt coverage issues where they have to have so many dollars of rent coming in to cover their debt plus a little more. And so we're looking at all this documentation. We went, we go back to the original situation. We look at to see what their commitments were there. And then you have to come back and say, okay, within that context, can the bank do anything for them? Can they come to the table and maybe extend their term or maybe do something with their interest rate? And on performing assets like we've been talking about, it's easier for the lender to make some modification to move this down the road to a point where that borrower can do something. More difficult situation in troubled assets or right now vacant land or some non-performing asset.
So in some cases, John, if they've packaged up and sold this loan, maybe they knew the banker that they went and got the loan on and they sold it. Now they're coming up on a due date or a balloon. Sometimes are they dealing with another entity trying to work this out? And that probably makes it a little more complicated, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's, the banking industry over the last 10 years has changed significantly. We used to all go down and see our banker and we deal primarily in commercial loans, but in residential loans as well. That was one of the disconnects in this market was that your banker knew you. Now it was just a matter of going to some originator who then sold that loan to someone else who then maybe sold it to someone else. And,
so you're completely disconnected.
It's just,
right.
just the number, not like the good old days when you're dealing with Mr. Brown at the bank and he'll always be there and you can go in and sit down and try to work something out.
Right, and it's a situation where, you know, kind of loaning on the character of someone, you know, it's always kind of a component in that personal banking relationship is now that's something that's removed.
It's very cold and hard, and here it is, and so who can you sit down and talk to?
Well, can I switch gears just a little bit? Because I'm looking at this not just from the property, like a performing property, but what if I were a business owner, sales have gone down, I have a line of credit against my, you know, that with my banker, and they're saying, well, it's time for it to come due. But I want to redo the loan, or I mean, what would be my options as a business owner if that's, and I've secured land against that loan?
Well, you know, banks generally, and we'll get to the issues of, you know, from the lender side, they're, you know, they generally don't want to own these assets. I mean, there's running a business is a very time intensive and can be complicated endeavor. And lenders generally don't want to get in that business. They don't have the, you know, let's say they take over one or two or three businesses, and we represent lenders who are in the business of doing that. First of all, from a regulatory basis, they don't want to be in that business very long. And second of all, the resources required to do that can be very difficult. I mean, they don't know your business as well as someone else. So, I mean, many times it's a matter of going in with a business plan to say, here's the things we're doing. We're cutting costs here, here, and here. We've got this in our pipeline of activity coming down the road. Things are not, and we see this all the time, things are not closing on the schedule that they once did.
Mm-hmm.
And things that were just easily resolved in prior transactions are getting scrutinized and delaying a lot of deals. So if you go in and you lay out, here's what we're going to do to control costs, here's what we have coming down the pipeline, and provide some plan to them, you know, many lenders will work with that long-term client.
Mm-hmm. Even with this kind of disconnect that's going on in the marketplace, with the loan being with someone else in North Carolina, for example.
Well, you know, you were asking more about a line of a business line,
but,
and that really relates probably more to a personal local banker versus some commercial loan that may be off with someone else.
Okay.
But John, even if it's a commercial loan or a line, if you got a business that's kind of in a box, revenues are down, performing loan, but you're struggling, come to you and they say, John, I need some help with the bank. This loan's coming due, and I don't know what I'm going to do. What kind of options? Do you go in there and look to extend the term? Do you try to go interest only? We're talking about a recap situation. What kind of options are available to that business borrower?
Well, it all depends on where we are in the stage. You know, what I'd like to tell people is get out ahead of it. If you see it coming, don't get in default. Don't do these things. Start talking with the lender early on. Tell them, you know, here's what we're up against. Here's what we're projecting out over the next year. Here's the challenges we have. And that lender then can start working with you. Once a loan gets in default and it starts showing up on a lender's
past due,
you know, once it, you know, gets to a certain level, it gets certain different levels of scrutiny, not only by the lender, but by the regulators that, Tom, you were just mentioning. So it becomes more and more difficult to do. So our recommendation to our client is to get out there right away you know, start talking with the lender about it. And you may hit a dead end with that particular lender just because of, you know, either their underwriting criteria, which have now been put on them either by their credit committee or the regulators. And if that's the case, then, you know, you need to be making that presentation to other lenders because, you know, there's not all banks are in trouble. I mean, it's mm-hmm. there are banks out there making loans. They're probably more picky about what they're doing these days. But you know, once you recognize that, you know, the first thing is have a plan. Mm-hmm. And then start communicating that.
Don't bury your head in the sand. You know, you got a problem coming up.
Don't hope it'll go away.
Just don't hope it's going to go away. So let's start early before it is criticized, before it is past due. It gives the banker more options, gives you more options. Let's just get out there and figure it out.
That's right.
And bankers are looking for that. they want that kind of interaction with their clients and customers.
Absolutely. I mean, I think most bankers would look at their relationship with their clients. Now, again, we're talking more now about the local, your relationship with your local bank versus some commercial loan that may be that may be out, may have been sold off. But, you know, the most bankers see themselves as a trusted advisor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they can help you, I'm sure that that's what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't, you know, you need to ask that question. Are you in a, is this something that you can do in your the parameters of where you're working? And I think, you know, if you ask that direct question, you should expect a direct answer. You don't want to get in a situation where they're not clearly communicating to you what they can and can't do.
So occasionally you get in a situation where maybe they get in a box and they just don't have the assets and don't have the wherewithal to fix it. There's another option, isn't there? Occasionally you can go out and look for maybe a new partner and some new capital and go back to the bank and say, how much do I have to raise and what can you do for me?
Yeah, and we're seeing that where, you know, deals are getting recapitalized. You know, we've been primarily talking about real estate deals, but also businesses can get recapitalized and partners come in. And you see partners leave, people that, you know, maybe a partner came into a deal and now there's a cash call and, you know, one of the partners can fulfill not only their cash call, but the other partner's capital call as well. And maybe that's a reallocation of ownership. We see situations where maybe new partners come in and provide liquidity to the situation. So you end up, there's a lot of different things you can do from that perspective. And if you can bring that in with the plan that you're presenting to your lender, that provides a lot more flexibility with what they can do as well.
Okay, now we've been talking about this from the borrower's standpoint, and sometimes you represent the lenders as well. So maybe it's helpful for those listeners that are borrowers to understand, what's a bank going to do if you don't bring in this plan? What are the bank's options? Can we flip over to the bank side? Now you're representing the bank. We've got a problem commercial loan. What do you do when you're representing the bank side or the lender side?
Well, typically, you know, we won't get called till late in the process because the lenders are pretty proactive with communicating with their borrowers, and they know that the loan is coming due. They've probably been out. You know, the loan officer responsible for that loan has probably either been communicating or meeting with the borrower, talking about what options are available. And you may end up with a number of things. One is, you know, we talked about from the borrower's perspective, if they can get assurances to the lender that things are going to be fine, they've got a plan, they're implementing that plan, you may see a situation where they will do some loan modification, extend the term, modify the rate, maybe not require a pay down of principal, or maybe it does require a pay down of principal. Maybe they've changed it to interest only to help the person cash flow for a period of time. So the first thing would be is reach some kind of compromise, which would allow for a loan modification. The next thing we see
which would require some documentation to memorialize.
Right. I mean, they're going to prepare documents and which will reflect the new terms.
Okay.
The next situation we get into is maybe the person has not been able to keep the loan current, but the bank wants to not extend the loan, but provide them some leeway to either get it refinanced or to, find some new capital or whatever it's going to be. And then in that situation, this is, again, a loan that's is secured by real estate, you would see maybe a forbearance agreement. And in that forbearance agreement, they would say, the bank will say, we won't do anything for a period of time. And in this, these are typically shorter periods of time, 90 days, 180 days, just a period of time to kind of provide some grace period. So the bank would typically propose that we won't foreclose or we won't do anything like that until we give you an opportunity to do what you say you're going to do.
So we give the borrower some time to work out his plan.
Right.
And it's kind of a standstill agreement during that time. And if he doesn't complete it during that time, then you move to foreclosure or take whatever actions are next.
And typically there's usually some concessions negotiated back and forth in that forbearance agreement, which provides the borrower some time to do what they want to do. But yet, if the bank needs to do what they need to do, and we're going to talk a little bit about foreclosures and time periods and things like that, maybe some of those time periods that are required under foreclosure or some of the notice provisions, that the bank will be relieved of having to go through all that and ultimately incurring expense, which the borrower will be responsible for under the loan agreement. So you see in these forbearance agreements that it's really a number of issues there where it's a give and take. The borrower believes they can get it done. The bank wants to give them time to get it done but doesn't want to be in a long-term relationship with them. And the bank's willing to do that, and the borrower's willing to do it, provided they get certain concessions.
So there's a give and take on both sides to try to work this thing out.
Right.
Okay, now, worst case scenario, that time goes by. For one reason or another, you can't get it done. Now you move on to foreclosure. There's a couple of ways to do that. Can we walk through those?
Sure. Well, in Minnesota, we have two ways to foreclose on the property. We can do it by advertisement or by action. And when we say action, we really mean a lawsuit.
Okay. And I'm thinking advertisement is an action.
But these would be in situations where there's a mortgage as opposed to a contract for deed or something like that, right?
Right. The bank is loaned money to a borrower who has secured it against some real estate.
Okay.
So the first one you said was foreclosure by action.
Sure. And then what will happen there is it's really starting a lawsuit. The bank will sue the borrower, and if there are any guarantors, and they will bring an action to court and seek to get a judgment for the total amount of the debt that they're owed under the loan agreement and evidenced by the promissory note. So that's the first step. The second step would be, once they have that judgment, is to go and commence the foreclosure sale. And that's a process where there has to be certain notice to all the interested parties, any other junior lien interest or any occupants and any other individuals or entities with ownership interest in the property. So that could, and the notice provision is usually handled a number of ways, either by serving them and in addition to that, publishing it, which there's a specific period of time, which is several weeks, to publish that prior to the sale to give the world notice that this is going on. But once you go to the sheriff's sale, what the bank or the bar or the lender has to do is in Minnesota, it's what they call a credit bid. They'll bid in. The sheriff, they'll say, okay, we're going to bid in a certain amount of money, and they're able to bid in up to the amount that they're owed. So it's not as if they come to the sale with money, and they just they basically bid in. At that time, the sheriff issues them what's called a sheriff certificate, and
unless somebody bids higher.
There can be other bids, but typically you don't see that because there's all the individuals with junior lien interests in Minnesota would have what's called right of redemption first. So let's just kind of walk through it here. The bank bids in there. Let's say they're owed $2 million.
On a first mortgage,
and they bid in the $2 million. Well, now we're going to trigger what's called a redemption period. And in Minnesota, the redemption period may be 6 to 12 months.
5 minutes.
And in that situation, the owner of the property will have whatever that redemption period is to go in and pay the bank off and own their property again. So at that point at the sale, the bank is issued a sheriff's certificate. They, in essence, own the property now, subject to the borrower's right of redemption.
Okay.
When the borrower's right of redemption expires...
Now, how long is that?
It can vary, depending on the type of asset you're talking about, anywhere from 6 to 12 months. There is a voluntary agreement where that can be shortened to 2 months, but the borrower would have to agree to that. And there's also a provision that if a property's been abandoned and is boarded up, they can shorten it to 5 weeks. But that's kind of a unique situation.
So that the bank can take control of the property and resell it and get out from underneath the
right.
mortgage.
Okay. And to avoid any more deterioration in the asset. But after the borrower's right of redemption, now we have anyone who else has a lien against the property, they have... Once the borrower is wiped out, then they have a right of redemption, and there's certain things they need to do during the borrower's redemption period. They need to file a notice that they intend to redeem. So what you do is the reason for the foreclosure is to clean up the title, and the reason that the borrower has these rights is it's a long history in English common law. When the king would come and kick someone out of their home in the middle of the night, they didn't have any notice, and over time, both on a common law basis and a statutory basis, we as a society have provided people notice, right to cure, and that's how all this has been structured. It's actually quite orderly, but when it's happening to you, it doesn't seem like it's been that fair.
Chaos.
And from the lender's side,
and stress.
They, you know, their perspective is, why does it take so long?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got foreclosure by action, foreclosure by advertisement. Is there a different time frame for each of those?
What happens is basically the difference between action and advertisement is you don't have a lawsuit. It's what they call a quasi-judicial proceeding where you have to do the publication and the sale is all the same. However, lenders need to keep in mind that when you do foreclosure by advertisement, you may be waiving some of your rights to pursue any deficiencies against the borrowers. And deficiencies is basically, our example of $2 million. Let's say they go to the sale and they have the right to bid in the full $2 million, but maybe they feel the asset's only worth $1,500,000. So they can bid less than the full $2 million and preserve the difference between what they bid and what they were owed to go pursue that against guarantors or the borrower. But, lenders need to be careful on that because when they do it by advertisement, you do waive some of your rights in that. And, we can talk about that in a different show. But
so this can all get quite messy and time-consuming and costly.
Right. And you need to, both from a borrower and a lender's perspective, know the process very well because you don't want to make decisions along the road, pick the wrong foreclosure methodology without some understanding of what the value of the asset is and what the end result of that process is going to be.
So John, strategy is very important.
Is there an opportunity to speed this up if the lender and the borrower agree that they want to do it quicker voluntarily?
Absolutely. We talked about a forbearance agreement earlier, but there's also a voluntary foreclosure procedure where the borrower and the lender can sign an agreement that would allow the lender to expedite this process. And typically, the borrower would get some concessions in that process so that they could maybe... It's a way to hand over the asset. Typically used when there's other liens on the property that need to be extinguished. And the last thing, of course, would be they could offer a deed in lieu. But lenders sometimes are reluctant to take that because there may be liens that...
A deed in lieu of foreclosure.
Right.
Well, John, we're running out of time for this podcast, but your advice for a borrower or a lender, I'm guessing it's going to be, if you know you've got a problem, let's sit down and start talking early and often and see if we can't work something out that's in the best interest of both parties.
In all matters, especially this is a form of litigation, communication is the best policy. If one party feels like they're not being communicated with, they may tend to make it personal and overreact and feel that they need to do something extreme in order to enforce their rights. And if you can put them at ease, they don't need to do that, they understand the situation, I think you'll be in a lot better place at the end of the day.
So part of your job is, listen, bad things happen sometimes to good people. Let's sit down with your lender if you're representing the borrower or if you're representing the other side. Let's just sit down and talk about this and see what we can work out. Let's get to work and try to fix this.
That's right, Tom.
Always good advice, Sam, to get good counsel on these deals and never bury your head in the sand.
No kidding.
This has been very interesting, John. Thanks for being with us. I'm Tom Lyons, and for my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Georgie Jorgensen, I'd like to thank John Cameron from the Cameron Law Offices for being with us today to discuss commercial loans, workouts, and foreclosures on this segment of todaysbusinessradio.com.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.